the movement was the siege of 1 Corinthians 13 plainly states. Tongues at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 were the siege, but there's some, it's not the same set of prophesying and doctrine in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No, it is not. Of prophesying or of knowledge, it says that then we know in part and we prophesy in part. It says nothing of speaking with tongues being in part. The language used was accurate and full known and fully equipped. The part-time feature of knowledge and prophecy, that we see, he says. Not the things themselves. Of tongues, it says nothing about part, simply the blunt statement that of tongues, the movement was deceived. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. And to show he does not refer to heavenly perfection in this statement, he goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. But did Paul become a man till he got to heaven? He certainly became one on earth. He was a child on earth, he became a man on earth. So he's talking about the present and not about the future. And he rebukes the Corinthians because they didn't grow up, but were still acting as babies, as children playing with the fad of tongues. Was this mighty servant of Christ a child, or was he a man? He bids the Corinthians not to be babies, to be babies in malice, but in understanding to be men. And he plainly tells them they were not. They were acting like little children. When 1 Corinthians 13 and 10 talks about the perfect which is to come, it is not talking about heaven, but of here and now on earth. The word is in the neuter, which means it's not talking about someone, but it's talking about something. The perfect he talks about is the complete word of God, of course. Paul says, as it were, that the imperfect was the truth till then revealed, and was only very fragmentary, as we know. The Old Testament says very little about the basic truth of our faith. It's hints at it, but it's very fragmentary in part. Now we have the complete word of God. So these special features, such as miracles, healing, and tongues, etc., were to disappear, as of course they did. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, where we read the church, of which Paul says he was made minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill of the complete word of God. In Hebrews 5 and verse 14 we read that strongly belongs to those that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. Now this word full age is the exact same word as the word translated perfect in 1 Corinthians 13, and also clearly refers not to the future but to the present. He talks about Christians being full grown, and when Paul said that which is perfect to come, it meant full grown Christianity had come. And that was here on earth and not here at hand. The word of God had been completed. And there were these temporary features that introduced it, like tongues and miracles and all that, stopped. Again, I've often asked, what about this face to face in 1 Corinthians 13? Surely that has to do with the future. No, it does not. He does in our hymn book. Go get your education from hymn books. There's some wonderful hymns that you can't go by all that they say. They use very fanciful ideas, but face to face in the Bible is never used of the future. It is found several times in Scripture, but always refers to here and now. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, when he says, now in part and then face to face, he talks about here and now. What does it mean? Listen, in Exodus 33 and verse 11, we read that the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaking to his friend. Yet that same chapter tells us in verse 20 that Moses never saw his face nor could see his face. God said, no man can see my face, but yet it says God brought him face to face. It doesn't mean that physically, does it? But it's plain that he did not see God. We also read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 4 that Moses tells the nation that the Lord talked with you face to face in the mountain out of the midst of the fire. Yet they couldn't even look at Moses' face, much less God's face. Moses had to cover his face when he talked to the people. And what does this face-to-face mean? Turn to Numbers chapter 12, verses 6, David, that tells you in plain language what it means. You'll read these words. God said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in the vision. And I will speak unto him in the dream. My servant Moses, not so, who is faithful in all my house, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, or face to face, even apparently, openly as well, and not in darkness. And the servant of the Lord shall he behold. Now here is the divine explanation of what face to face means. In those days, God often spoke to men in dreams, in visions, etc., usually did. But to Moses, face to face, none of that distant connection in plain direct language of man to man, but not physically face to face, where we plainly because he never saw God's face. It is heavenly there, but 1 Corinthians 13 means not in visions or dreams, but with the complete Bible in our hand, God speaks to us now face to face. No longer dreams, no longer all these pictures in the Old Testament, these types, but plain language, God talks. That's what face to face means. And it means here and now. And there's only two, so, because the Word of God has been complete. It is this that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, in chapter 4, verse 6. In chapter 3, it says that our faith is open, for with open faith we behold the glory of the Lord in the glass. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says that his face is open. For all the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. That we are face to face. My face is open and his is open. And we are face to face. God has revealed himself fully in his completed word that has nothing to do with the future. Tongues, partial knowledge, partial ministry, all go now that Christ is revealed in the word. In all his glory. Yes, tongues were to cease. Now let's raise the question, why? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. The simple answer is that they had to do with the nation of Israel. That's why they ceased. This is very clear, first of all, when we compare Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, with the quotation that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21. In Isaiah it says, for with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people. And the context shows that this people was Israel, to whom he said, this is the rest of which you made, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. And here's the quotation in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21. In the Lord is written that men of other tongues and other lips will have speak unto the people, yet for all that they will not hear. God spoke to Israel by his tongues on Pentecost and later, and they would not hear. They continued to reject him. They crucified Christ, and then they murdered Stephen, and eventually saw to that Paul was executed, and others of the Lord's servants. They went on their bitter way, and God did not continue giving them the sign when they flatly refused them. A common sense would even tell them. And so the sign stopped. The sign, the tongue, was a sign, a miracle to unbelieving Israel. That verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14 goes on to say, it says, wherefore tongues are but a sign to them that believe, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And he could be connected with the nation of Israel in Isaiah. The very use of this word sign repeatedly proves that tongues have nothing to do with us in the church age. Signs in Scripture are always and alone, please note this, is always and alone in connection with the nation of Israel. Our Lord in Matthew 6, even 17 spoke of the tongues as a sign when the Jewish ruler of Capernaum besought the Lord to come down and heal his son. When he was at the point of death, Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Again, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, believe that the Jews require a sign. After the tremendous miracle of feeding some 10,000 folk with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, the Jews had the gall to say to our Lord, when he urged them to believe in him, they had the gall to say, what sign showest thou that? That we may see and believe. What dost thou work? They just seen him perform that amazing work and said, what sign did he show that they believe? In Matthew 12, verse 38, the Pharisees came to him and demanded, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And Jesus answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and it shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Yes, Israel was concerned with signs. 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 And the Bible tells us why. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 2. This is what it says. How shall we escape, Hebrews 2 and verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord to who? To the Jews. Was confirmed unto them that heard him, who was the apostles, they were Jews. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders of entire service and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He says, these signs were given first to establish who Christ was, and then they were passed on to establish the truth that the apostles preached. And then those signs were rejected as they were. They ceased. And therefore the sign of the tongue, this to be the word, was one of those signs. There will be signs again in the future. And again, there will be in relation to the nation of Israel. You read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. The lies of the Antichrist, as we all know, is found there. And it says it does not take place till after we've gone home. To be without blessed warrants. Satan will have his signs then, and believe, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs, and deceiving miracles, even wonders. We read the same thing in Revelation 16 and verse 14, where it says, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, came forth those evil spirits working miracles, and so on. All these signs and miracles in Scripture have the nation of Israel in view. They did in the past, they will in the future. They have no connection, whatever, with the age in which you and I live. And that alone proves, if nothing else, that tongues do not apply to the age. Signs are something to look at. You know, you see a sign for your eyes. They said, but signs show that they see, they said to the Lord. They want to see. The Jews said to our Lord, we want to see. But you see, we live in an age where we're not asked to see, we're asked to believe. As the Lord said to the Martha, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Unbelieving Israel, look for signs that will in the future do. And in spite of the signs, they rejected Christ. In spite of all the miracles he did, and the apostles did, in spite of the tremendous sensational experience at Pentecost, some accepted him, yes, but they not all rejected him. Therefore, those signs have no connection with the church. We live in a day when faith is the operating force and not sight. We believers walk by faith in the Bible, not by sight. And to the unbeliever today, God does not speak by signs, but by his word. Your salvation depends alone and altogether upon your reception of the gospel that is received by faith. No sign, healing, miracles, tongues. The Bible knows nothing about them today. Tongues were for a sign. You see with the eyes in your head instead of believing the gospel in your heart. But we believers walk by faith. And not by saying, oh yes, there are tongues today. There are healings. There are miracles. So they tell you anyway. I've never seen any. They're a gigantic fake. I can assure you that. Looking for signs today is a serious mistake. When one studies God's Word carefully, one will see that sensational things always happen at the beginning of a new dispensation, not at the end of it. There was the great miracle of Noah's experience. The whole wicked world was wiped off the map, and God began something new altogether, as it were. A new operation with Noah and with his family in a renewed earth. Speaking as it does, as we know from Scripture, of the new beginning in the near future, when God will bring the nation of Israel through that great tribulation, through the flood as it were, and bring them safe to their promised land. As it was in the days of Noah, that's what Jesus said, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Then later, there came that sensational journey from Egypt to Canaan. A journey that simply sparkling with the miraculous from beginning to the end. They crossed the Red Sea, the water stood up like mountains, and they went and life charged through them. God miraculously provided water for them when they needed them. This dried up desert. Daily he rained down food from heaven for 40 solid years. Believe that their clothes never waxed old and their shoes never wore out. Every day was a standing, an obvious miracle, because God was introducing something new. He was introducing a new nation, a nation of an entirely new life, a new dispensation. And the Old Testament, of course, throbs with all that, with its great spiritual lessons for you and me. But those miracles did not continue. They introduced them to their new national existence and their homeland and all that. And then the miracles practically stopped with a there, one here, and there. So it connected with our study to the use of tongues. God introduces an entirely new thing, the church, composed of believers in Christ out of all nations. In the Old Testament, it was one nation among all nations. Now it's one church out of all nations, an entirely new concept. And the Jews simply couldn't see it. They resented the idea that Gentiles were to be brought in. Israel was God's acknowledged people. They were proud of it. And when this new thing was introduced and so forth, they resented and rejected it. The message went out to them first. To show that acknowledged people that the message was indeed of God. It was accompanied by numerous miracles in the life of Christ. We just read from Hebrews chapter 2 that God confirmed this message by signs following, and then those signs were passed on to the apostles and David. Paul speaks of it. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 19 of the miracles he was able to do. All was to prove that, first of all, when Christ did the miracles, he was their Messiah. He's the Lord that healed him when he did those miracles. Tens of thousands of them, when you leave time to get that multitude for healed. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. The only one you ever read opened blind eyes. You never find the apostles did. He alone did. And people, they with all their healing, they don't open blind eyes. They don't raise dead people either. No doubt to prove that he was their Messiah. The miracles which he substantiated proved his claims of deity. And it proved his mission as a savior of mankind. Then after he died, another new thing was introduced, was hinted at by our Lord, but was not understood at all by these people, the apostles. The formation of the church. It was first of all offered to the nation of Israel. God's nominal earthly people are offered this new thing, this salvation by faith alone. Not bound to any particular sin, no longer in Jerusalem, the Lord told the woman in John 4, but worldwide. To impress the nation, the Holy Spirit saw fit to come in a visible form, as we read in Acts 2, like tongues of fire, by the way, something that was never repeated either. It was accompanied with the miraculous speaking with tongues by the apostles. If you consider Acts 1:26 with chapter 2 and verse 3, you will see that the Holy Spirit in that physical form came only on the 12 apostles. Connected two verses, Acts 1:26 and 2 and 3, And you'll find that the all he talks about when you're lost. Chapter 20, verse 26 showed that Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles, and then goes on to say in chapter 2 that they were all with one accord in one place, and the Spirit came upon each of them, and they spake with tongues. The connection clearly shows it was upon the apostles that the Spirit came, and that they the ones that spoke with tongues. There was no repetition of this miraculous sign, tongues of fire sitting on them. Happened once. When later 3,000 were saved, it said nothing whatever about any tongues then. Apparently it was not continued. They received the Holy Ghost as Peter tells you they would when they believed in the Christ. See Acts 2 and verse 38. But it says nothing about the tongues in that case. Just the precious truth that obtains now among believers, namely, that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in drinking of ecstasy, nothing sensational, no amazing talk with tongues. Later on, Peter said when the tongues were spoken by the men in Cornelius' household, he said, I remember what happened earlier, that was 8 years before. Apparently nothing like that had happened in between. It was not a continuous thing, it was a special feature. Not be carried on. Plainly, therefore, the speaking with tongues was not universal, nor was it continued regularly. In fact, when Simon Peter, years later, as I have said already, saw Cornelius' family saved and receiving gifts of the Holy Ghost, he marveled at it. The Jews, including Simon Peter, couldn't see anything about Gentiles being introduced into this blessing. They were to learn that the grace of God goes out to all men alike. That the Jew no longer had any special place. Apparently, those 8 years that Peter harkens back to had probably shown nothing more of what had been taking place at Pentecost. There the Spirit fell on Jews. He could even send the fell on Gentiles to tell us that the Jew and the Gentile are brought into blessing. And the speaking with tongues was God's sign of his approval of that experience. They speak with tongues at Pentecost and at Caesarea. But not until years later do we read that Peter explained all this, we read that the other Jews marvel but realize now that God was bringing blessing to Gentiles, and they also learned that this tongue miracle was not continued but it ceased. Thus, the speaking with tongues was a miracle, given as a special witness to Israel, for signs were for them, as I've said already. It was not to be until 8 years later, and then the Gentiles, but again as a sign to Israel. For it was the Jews who were disturbed by it. They all, Peter, as well with the coals, were going to this Gentile group. But when Peter rehearsed the whole story, the Jewish leaders were satisfied. And they recognized that the Gentiles also were included in God's great purpose of the formation of the church. And that's what the tongues were in connection with, to show that God was doing a new work. And this miracle of speaking with tongues just found in those two places, and later on the special group in Acts 19, they were given to establish the fact that God was introducing a new work, the church. And when this was done, the need for speaking with tongues ceased. This is the day of faith, as I've said before, and not said. I believe in this, we have clearly proved that tongues were for Israel. They have no connection with the church. God gives us nothing to look at or to be excited by the present, except his great spiritual truth. And everything else that arises is just a rehearsal of a thing that's long ago passed. You know, these signs were for the nation of Israel. And you remember, they rejected. They rejected Christ. They rejected those who followed him. They rejected the gospel as a thing. And when the Epistle of Corinthians was written somewhere in the year AD 54, these Corinthians had taken up a sort of a sham. That's all it was. Speaking with God. But even that stopped, for itself also the tongue will cease. And 16 years later, the nation was wiped off the map in AD 70. And there is no proof, our proof to the contrary, that tongues were ever heard of in the early church. Simply because the Lord said they were to cease. And they ceased with the cessation of the people of Israel as a nation, because they belonged to the nation of Israel. They had no connection with the church. They were to remind Israel that God was introducing a new word in order to win their hearts. And they rejected. And God does not continue miracles when people reject the miracles He did give them. So the miracles automatically stop, including the gift of tongues. We'll look at that little more in detail as we go on.